The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God, with all your faithful followers of every age, we praise you, the rock of our life. Be our strong foundation and form us into the body of your Son, that we may gladly minister to all the world through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Reading from Isaiah. Listen to me, you that pursue righteousness, you that seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who bore you. For he was but one when I called him, but I blessed him and made him many. For the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and will make her wilderness like Eden, her desert like garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song. Listen to me, my people, and give heed to me, my nation. For a teaching will go out from me, and my justice for a light to the peoples. I will bring near my deliverance swiftly. My salvation has gone out, and my arms will rule the peoples. The coastlands wait for me, and for my arm they hope. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, and look at the earth beneath, for the heavens will vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and those who live on it will die like gnats. But my salvation will be forever, and my deliverance will never be ended. Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 138 responsively. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise.
I will bow down toward your holy temple and praise your name, because your steadfast love and faithfulness, for you have glorified your name and your word above all things.
When I called, you answered me. You increased my strength within me. They will sing of the ways of the Lord. That great is the glory of the Lord.
The Lord is high, and cares for the lowly, receiving the haughty from afar.
Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you keep me safe. You stretch forth your hand against the fury of my enemies. Your right hand shall save me. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from Romans. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members of one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do you say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." But he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. The Gospel of the Lord. So there are different cities in the United States, and they're all known for different things. When I think of Detroit, we think of, you know, cars manufacturing, right? We could play that game. So Berkeley, being very liberal, you know. The city of Orange, known for being very conservative. Las Vegas, gambling. Sin City, right? San Diego. Sunshine, America's finest city, I think we call it, right? yeah, even in Vegas, the marketing is what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. I mean, different cities are known for different things. Caesarea Philippi was also known for something very interesting. This is where the gates of Hades were. This city was not always called Philippi. It was once known as Panias, which is named after the Greek god Pan. The god Pan is a faun. It's half goat, half human. Anybody ever see the movie Pan's Labyrinth? the faun there, that was Pan. Later, Christians would adopt that image of the half-goat, half-human as an image of Satan. This God was good, was the God of hunting, pastures, open wild. He hung out with other fertility gods. And you know what fertility gods like to do. In winter, they retreated to the underworld, Hades. There was a great cave in Panias that the Greek gods believed, that the Greeks believed connected the earth and the underworld. The cave itself was called the Gates of Hades. In fact, if you Google Gates of Hades, you'll see a lot of pictures of this interesting cave. Okay, I don't see anyone pulling out their smartphones. That's really good. I was going to tell you not to. It's cool that you have a computer, but, you know, wait till after. So the Greeks believed that the gods would retreat to the underworld, that this cave, through this cave in the wintertime, and then they would return in the spring. The people of the city would engage in all sorts of activities that they believed would entice the fertility gods to come back. The Gates of Hades was in the city, Panias, which was now called Caesarea Philippi. Well, the Greeks, they were eventually taken over by the Romans, and the Romans kept a lot of the same gods that the Greeks worshipped. They kept the god Pan. But even more than that, the Romans believed that their emperor was God. So when Herod the Great became the leader in that region, he built a temple in honor of Emperor Augustus, right next to the Gates of Hades. Augustus is an interesting figure because some of the attributes that were ascribed to him, they might sound familiar to you. Here's what was said about Augustus, and this was etched into a temple that was dedicated to him. It wasn't the one at Caesarea Philippi, but it was another one. It says, "Whereas Providence has adorned our lives with the highest good, Augustus, and has in her benefits, how do you say this right here? Someone tell me here. Somebody help me right here.
Beneficence.
See, that takes some practice, folks. "And has in her beneficence granted us and those who will come after us a Savior who has made war to cease and who has put everything in peaceful order, with the result that on the birthday of our God signaled the beginning of good news for the world because of him." Augustus was called the Savior of the world. Good news was pronounced to all who would listen that Augustus would bring them peace. Augustus was the adopted son of Julius Caesar, who was declared to be God. So he was called the Son of God. Being the Son of God meant that you are so identified with God that you were God too. There's really no distinction between you and God. Being the Son of God meant that you were God. Savior, good news, Son of God, all words ascribed to Caesar Augustus, the leader of the Roman Empire. So Jesus, he brings them to the city, Caesarea Philippi, and he asks them, "Who do you say that I am?" Jesus had taken them to the red light district, all sorts of temples to different gods, Greek and Roman. This is a place where you could worship anything. Anything you want, you can have here. There's really not any reason for a God-fearing Jew to go into this city. It's out of the way. It's northeastern. Jesus takes them there, as an object lesson. He takes them there so that he could show them the options that they have. And then he asks them, who do you say that I am? Some of the disciples, they respond that Jesus is a prophet that had returned. Elijah, John the Baptist, even Jeremiah. They thought that he fell in line with the tradition of prophecy. Any of those would have been a really good association. Elijah, the prophet Malachi prophesied that the prophet Elijah would precede the great day of the Lord. Elijah would once again come and turn the hearts of their parents to their children and the hearts of their children to their parents. There would be unity and peace when Elijah came. But Jesus was more than that. He was more than just a mouthpiece for God. Jesus is more than a prophet. And so Jesus says, who do you say that I am? And Peter's response is amazing. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Messiah can mean Savior, anointed King, or Christ. Peter is identifying Jesus as more than just a prophet. Jesus is the one who will save Israel and the world. Jesus is the one who will bring peace. Son of the living God is a direct insult to Augustus. The temple to Caesar Augustus is right there. Caesar isn't the savior. Caesar isn't the one who's going to bring peace. Caesar is not the Son of God. It's Jesus, the Son of the living God. This confession is in direct confrontation with the powers of this world. Those that think the governments or rulers of this world will bring peace are drastically wrong. Those that think that there's any other God are wrong. It's Jesus. And that's the distinction that Peter makes from the rest of the disciples. The Anglican bishop N.T. Wright has written, Jesus was not just speaking God's word against the wicked rulers of the time. He is God's king who would supplant them. Jesus was not just coming to be another prophet. He was coming to establish the true kingdom of God. It was so that there could be true peace. And that kingdom would one day extend to the ends of the earth. This kingdom would do away with all other kingdoms so that true peace would fill the entire earth. And it's Peter's confession. It's Peter's understanding that the church would be built upon. It's through this confession that the kingdom of God would be spread. This understanding about who Jesus really is and what Jesus is here to do. The gates of Hades would not prevail against it. The gods of this world would not be able to come out again in the spring. The gods of the Greeks would stay in Hades. No false god would prevail against this confession. It could not do away with this kingdom. And this confession is not something that's just conjured up inside of us. Jesus says, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. The confession that Jesus is Lord cannot come from inside of us. It must be given to us from the outside. Whenever I read this verse, I always think of Luther's Small Catechism. It says this, I cannot confess by my own power and might that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Ghost has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified me in the true faith. Even as he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth, and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith, in which Christian church he forgives daily and richly all sins to me and all believers. And at the last day will raise me up and all the dead, and will give to me and to all believers in Christ everlasting life. This most certainly is true. We cannot by our own powers believe. We need some revelation. We need something to come and wash over us. Something that would cleanse our hearts. Something that is God's word in tangible form. That makes us born again. And thank God we have been given that through our baptisms. And we are given it weekly through communion. All of these things come from the outside in. God coming to us. And it's to be received by faith. When Jesus says flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, he's saying that flesh and blood are imperfect and weak and not capable of understanding who God is. But thank God that he does reveal it to us. I don't need to tell you that we live in a very cosmopolitan country, city. We live in places where there are different gods on most street corners. And everything and anything can be made the object of worship. Money, good looks, security, anything in creation, the self. Anything can be put ahead of God. And anything that is put ahead of God is idolatry. And here we have Jesus who continually asks us the question, who do you say that I am? Do you believe Jesus was just a prophet acting as the mouthpiece of God? Do you believe that Jesus was just a great religious leader amongst many, like Augustus or Pan? Jesus is more than just one God amongst many. See, the uniqueness of Christ is fully revealed when we believe that his kingdom will indeed inherit the entire earth, when it supplants all others. So hear the words again. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Confess that. Believe that. And when you do, you'll recognize that it had to come from the outside of yourself to you. That it was God's very own voice for you. Amen.